Jim Winters, you're going to be involved in an automobile accident next Sunday evening on the freeway at 9:47. It's going to be a bad accident, one that will mean tragedy for you and your family. How do I know? Because I know you. I know how you act. And this accident is going to happen because you don't know yourself. You think you do, but you don't. Your wife, Alice, knows you.
Jim and I have been married 12 years, and we were happy. Jim was the easiest person in the world to get along with. Of course, we had our troubles like everybody else. But we really understood one another in those days. We could talk things out, and it was wonderful, even in that dinky old apartment on the south side. I remember one night Jim was lying on the floor with the baby Angie on his chest and Bud rolling on the floor beside him. I was sitting on the couch looking at a magazine, and all of a sudden Jim said, "Alice?" I said, "What?" He said, "I like you." Maybe it doesn't sound like much, but I knew what he meant. And it made me feel so good it hurt. We just could have kept the feeling we had in those days. Maybe we should never have moved here. It was wonderful at first, having our own house and everything. We got acquainted with a lot of nice people. But one thing was different. It was the drinking. Now, in the old days, Jim and I always had a drink on special occasions. It was part of the celebration. The rest of the time, we never gave it a thought. Here, people did it every day as a matter of course. There was always a cocktail party going on somewhere. I enjoyed it at first. Then I woke up to the fact that Jim and I weren't ever sitting down to dinner until we'd had two or three drinks. I thought that was a little much, so I stopped. After that, Jim drank alone. Not much, but every evening, and alone. Then we'd run into nights like this.
Oh, brother, did I have a rough day. Oh, it's great to get home and relax. Hey, where are the kids? Isn't this feeding time at the zoo?
They're upstairs watching TV. They've already eaten.
So we can't even have one meal in this house together, huh?
Jim, it was getting so late. You know, you can't control a child's appetite. When they're hungry, they want to eat.
What are they, a bunch of tapeworms?
All right, Jim. After this, I'll make them wait. Won't hurt them.
Well, no. Don't do it on my account. I'm sorry. I guess I fouled things up again by holding up dinner.
Jim, the repairman was here today about the washing machine. He said it was just some little screw.
Now, wait a minute. Stop right there. How much have you paid out already for repairs on that machine?
Well, we've had it 2 years, and this is only the second time I've called a man.
Now, I mean in actual dollars and cents. Let's be businesslike about this thing. Huh? See? Now we can't get anywhere because we don't have facts and figures.
Well, I looked up the bill today. It was $20 the first time, and this time it'll only be $10. Man gave me a slip for it.
That machine's beginning to nickel and dime you to death. Now, if you were really smart about money matters, you'd turn it in on a new one. Save all that money.
We wouldn't get anything on this one if we turned it in. When it's fixed, it's as good as new.
Dollar here, a dollar there. If you keep it long enough, you'll pay out more in repairs than the original cost of the machine. I know, from experience. It's cheaper all around to buy a new one.
You think we can afford to buy a new
one? Now, let me decide that, huh? Ugh, here you go again, spoiling everything. I want to do something nice for you, and you won't let me.
All right, Jim, I'll look at a new machine. How'd things go at the office today?
Oh, okay. I'm getting fed up with that outfit. The boss had one of his sales staff meetings, and he started yapping about his expense accounts. For 2 cents, I'd have gotten up and told him off.
No, I'll get it. Ugh. Hello? Oh, yes, Mother. Yes, I think 4:30 tomorrow. All right. All right, I'll meet you there. How's Margaret feeling? Oh, well, I think...
Alice, your dinner's getting cold.
All right. I'll meet you. Bye.
Gosh sakes, hasn't she got all day to phone?
About my sister Margaret. She hasn't been feeling well, you know.
Why does your mother have to wait until we're in the middle of dinner?
Mother didn't know we were still eating. It's really past dinner time. Jim, you were telling me about the boss and the expense accounts. What happened at the meeting? What'd you say?
Me? No, I don't remember now. The phone call put it out of my head. You aren't interested in what goes on where I work anyway. All you care about is dinner on time. Why don't you write it on the wall? Jim, you must not take 5 minutes for a drink before dinner. Well, why don't you print a sign hanging around my neck?
Oh, Jim, what makes you carry on like this?
Oh, sure, I'm carrying on. It's always me. You can make my kids eat dinner before I'm ready. You can make all the decisions about what we can and can't buy for the house. You can spend all kinds of time gassing with your mother. And the minute I open my mouth, I'm carrying on.
Jim, you haven't finished half.
As far as I'm concerned, dinner's over. Go in the living room, read the paper.
The next morning, he'd be all right again. Only he won't remember what he said or how he acted. I can't make him believe it. I can't get through to him. More and more, he's turning into a different man. Nothing like my good, steady Jim. And when I try to love that stranger as my husband, it breaks my heart to watch the way he's wrecking himself. But I don't know what to do.
Yes, your wife knows you, Jim Winters. Your employer knows you, too. Mr. Jordan's been disturbed by what he's seen lately. Jim's been with me for 7 years. He wasn't ever the type that would set the world on fire, but when you gave him any kind of prospect, you could depend on him to follow it up and 9 times out of 10 make a sale, so I kept promoting him. I never thought I'd have to call him into the office the way I did the other day.
Yes, Mr. Jordan, I did talk to Lawrence about a Chicago deal, but it didn't occur to me he'd take what I said that way.
What other way could he take it? Here's the memo you gave him at that dinner. You've committed us to things we could never deliver. The whole thing's fantastic, don't you see that?
Seemed like a good idea at the time.
I know what a salesman's up against. I used to be one myself. Now, some fellas can drink all night and still talk sense. Others can't go beyond a few drinks without things getting out of hand. And well, there's some who start making fools of themselves after the first cocktail.
Yeah, that's true. That's perfectly true.
For that kind of fella, there's just one answer. Stop before the first one, if he values his reputation and his job.
That's right. That's certainly true.
All right, Jim. It's up to you now.
Me?
Yes, Jim. I'm talking about you. Don't you understand? Don't you see it? This Lawrence matter isn't the only loused-up affair. It's happening too often. And there are other signs. Yes, I know the signs. Calling in sick on Monday, you're sloppy in your personal appearance, you're irritable, you make a lot of mistakes.
Well, that's a little drinking I do. You think it has an effect on me?
Well, I'm giving it to you straight, Jim. You better watch yourself.
Well, if you're going to take it that serious, Mr. Jordan, I'll give up drinking entirely. You don't have to worry about me. I can handle it.
The way he said it made me realize that what I'd told him hadn't registered. I hope I can keep Jim on. I feel sorry for his family. Your employer knows you very well, Jim Winters. So does your son, Bud. This is the way you are to him now.
Sometimes he acts like my daddy, but sometimes he doesn't. He acts funny. He laughs a lot, but doesn't make me feel good. Mother doesn't laugh back either. Like last night.
No, Jim, I don't want a brandy. You don't really want this one after what you've had, do you? I'd like to clear the dishes.
What's the big rush about dishes? Can't we relax around her anymore? Hey, buddy boy, how about you and me going into the den putting on the gloves, huh? What do you say, champ?
Well, Daddy, couldn't we play with my new train?
Oh, that's kid stuff. Let's have some He-Man fun. I want to see you been practicing that left jab I showed you.
Jim, don't you think it's too soon after Bud's dinner?
Now you run along and do your dishes, Mama. Come on, buddy boy. We're going into the ring.
I'm coming, Daddy.
Ah, here we are. Now, wait a minute. I have to announce the bout. Ladies and gentlemen, the main event tonight, Buddy Boy Winters, the young challenger, meets the defender and heavyweight champion of the world, James G. Winters. Now I'm your manager. Make him come to you, but watch out for his right, buddy boy. Now I'm the referee. All right, boys, fight clean, no low punches, and break when I tell you to. Round one, bong. Ready, bud?
Yes, Daddy.
No, you aren't. Put your head into your shoulder. Cover up that chin.
Like this, Daddy?
Yeah, now hit me.
Ouch.
Go ahead. Hit me right here in the chin. I didn't even feel it. Cross with your right, like this. Oh, buddy boys, down. One, two. Come on, get up, get up.
Jim, not so rough.
You stay out of this. I have to toughen him up. Come on, champ. Hit me again, right on the schnoz. Right here in the schnozola.
Bang!
No. Like this.
Jim, don't hit him like that. He's only a little boy.
Hey, that champ didn't mind that little tap, did you, old buddy boy?
Daddy, it hurts.
Oh. Okay, mama's boy. Go get your dolls. Daddy's not going to play with you anymore.
Well, Daddy, I didn't mean...
That's enough. Don't come around me till you can act like a real boy.
I don't know what to do with my daddy. I want him to play with me like he used to, but I was never scared of him then.
They all know you, Jim Winters. They've all tried to make you take a good look at yourself, but you keep ducking. So you're going to have the accident this Sunday evening. You'll be feeling good, so you'll take the family out to dinner. You'll follow your usual pattern for an evening out. When you sit down at the table, you'll be yourself, smiling, good-tempered. Cocktail, overly bright and cheerful. Cocktail, talkative and getting fussy with the children and the waitress. Gentle reminder from Alice that it's a long drive home. Cocktail, you get stubborn. You know what's on her mind. She's not fooling you. She's going to want to drive home. So, you have one for the road. By the time you get into the car, your jaw is set. Nobody's going to tell you when you can drive. You take the freeway, the fast lane.
Jim?
Now, what's the matter?
I think that car ahead slowing. Jim?
I slowed down. Told you before I don't have to stay a mile behind the car in front of me.
Jim, we don't need to get home so quick. Angie's quiet. Bud isn't sleepy, are you, Bud?
No, I'm not sleepy.
All the time we were eating, you kept yapping. It was getting late.
Daddy, don't drive so fast. I'm scared.
Bud, be quiet. We'll be home soon.
We'll be there in no time. Oh, there's our cutoff.
Jim, wait, don't cut across the lane. There's a car beside you.
Well, he's going straight on. He knows I want to turn. He'll slow down.
He has the right of way. Oh, Jim!
Alice will be dead on arrival at the hospital. Bud and Angie will be on the critical list. You will walk the hospital corridors and haunt the chapel. Then, you'll take an honest look at yourself. Then you'll be ready to pray. Then you'll beg God to hold off the consequences of your folly. But then it will be too late. This story is a parable. It is true of many men and women, perhaps even of you, down to the point where the accident happens. If you see yourself in Jim Winters, you still have time to ward off tragedy for yourself and your family. Ask God now for the courage to take a look at yourself as you are and the grace to make yourself what you should be. This program entitled Stranger in My Mirror has been brought to you by the Art of St. Francis. For your free copy of this story and of our booklet on the life of St. Francis, the man who loved everybody, write to the Art of St. Francis in care of the station to which you are listening. This episode of The Hour of St. Francis was written for radio by D.J. Talley. The cast included Peggy Weber, Jack Moyles, Dick Beals, and Patrick McGeehan.